Alan Kohler here, and I'm speaking to John Melky, the CEO of Genetic Signatures, GSS, on the ASX. And it's been around for 18 years. It's a molecular diagnostic company. They use DNA sequencing to identify infections as well as bacterial and viruses. They have a unique proprietary technology called 3Base, in which they convert part of the DNA into, instead of four letters in the DNA, they come down to three, which makes it easier and quicker, and they can test for more things. That's the idea with this mob. They're burning cash still, about $400,000 a month, but they've just raised a fair bit of money. They've done a placement for $35 million, and so they've got about $40 million in the bank. John Melky says that he believes that they will get to cash break even and beyond without raising any more money. He says they've got 10% of the Australian pathology market, obviously working on achieving more here, but they're starting to sell now in the US and Europe, which he believes is where the growth is. I mean, the thing is that these things, these kits that they sell, are not that expensive. We're talking $30 or $40 a pop. So they've got to sell a lot to make some money. They've got to get a fair market share. But on the other hand, the idea is that they take over a lab's entire testing. You know, they sell all the kits to the lab that takes them up. And obviously the market in the US and Europe is quite large. So it's an interesting play. They've been a slow burn and taken a while, but they appear at last to be getting somewhere. The stock's now at a dollar and they're capitalized at $122 million. They've been rising, you know, reasonably well. The last 9 months they've been stable, but they were 50 cents a year ago. So here's John Melky, the CEO of Genetic Signatures. Well, John, with companies that are burning cash, we always start by talking about cash, which is in some ways perhaps the most important thing for investors. Your last quarterly showed that you were burning about $400,000 per month. You had $5 million in the bank, but since then you've raised $35 million through a placement. You had an SPP and you got a tax rebate, so you must have more than $40 million in the bank right now. Is that right?
That's about right, Alan.
Also, your cash revenues are growing. At what point do you expect to be cash break even?
Well, when we look at our new cost base following the raise, I think all in, we'll be looking at about $15 million. Per annum. We've sort of on the record of saying we have about a 65% margin currently. And so we're looking, break-even point is somewhere in that sort of low 20s, which if you look at some of the opportunities...
Low 20s what? Low 20s of revenue?
Low 20s of revenue. So yeah. In terms of timing, if you look at some of the large labs, so remembering that we're focused on very high throughput laboratories that can do, you know, 1,000 tests a day, a couple of those kind of labs in the US could represent very significant step up in revenue. So we're not giving any guidance as to when that time might be, but if you've seen our growth rate, our strong growth rate, and that was really off a domestic base, we're really confident about offshore success, replicating our local success and getting to those revenue points in the coming years.
Do you have a pipeline you can talk to us about?
In terms of sales pipeline, we've been active in Europe and the US over the last couple of years. So we are significantly down the path with interested parties who are assessing our unique 3Base technology and how we can assist them to implement high throughput testing. Remembering that we test for infectious diseases, Alan, so we're empowering labs to be able to test for a broad spectrum of infectious agents. So in terms of gastroenteritis or gut bugs, we test for over 20, and we empower them to be able to do that in a high throughput format. So as I said, so doing hundreds or 1,000 samples every day, but also testing for that full breadth of targets. And so we're well down the path in both the States and Europe, which we're targeting for our offshore expansion. Together, the US and Europe represent about 75% of the global market.
Can you tell us a bit about what the sales process is like? When labs buy this stuff, do they go to a beauty parade? Or do you have to pitch against others? And do you win a contract? How does it actually take place?
First and foremost is generally regulatory approval. So once you have the regulators give your product the clearance or approval. That's really a marketing clearance, so we can then start marketing. And we do that through a number of ways, whether it's trade shows, whether it's actually visiting the high throughput labs. So remembering we're targeting the highest of throughput labs, of which, you know, there's a smaller number of those than there are of the low throughput labs. Once we engage with them, it's a matter of telling them what benefits our technology can bring the lab. They're generally the throughput, so they can meet their throughput needs. It's the breadth of coverage, which means they can test for up to 20 targets for any one indication. Generally, they would like to try the kit, try the technology, and then we build a business case with them. What we find is that we generally contract them, so they're happy to contract to our technology for 3 to 5 years. So it's very sort of stable and predictable revenue, as you've seen in our revenue growth quarter on quarter since we listed back in 2015.
Do you actually end up with a contract with that particular lab? How many kits do you sell them? How does it actually unfold from there once you've got a deal?
Yeah, so it's generally they are generally contracted to us, which means they use our test on every patient sample that comes through the door. The business model is relatively straightforward. We create kits, so we design and develop and manufacture them. We sell them in lots of 500 tests. It's a consumable test. The lab purchases them. They usually purchase a month or so's usage at a time, so they may order, you know, 5,000 plus tests. We deliver them. We're paid on 30-day terms, so it's a fairly standard B2B approach. The lab itself then uses those consumables as needed. So if they have 70 samples that day, they would use 70 of our consumable tests that day. And the lab itself is generally reimbursed. So every jurisdiction that we're looking at has a reimbursement in place, whether that's government or whether it's a payer or an insurance. So, as I say, fairly straightforward business model, with the lab being reimbursed and us being paid just on standard terms.
And how much do you charge for a kit?
That is commercially sensitive, Alan, but we generally sit comfortably under the reimbursement level, remembering that the lab needs to account for overheads in order to run our test and a few consumables as well. So we fit comfortably under that reimbursement level. In Australia, that reimbursement level is around $40. But I'm very quick to add that Australian reimbursement is one of the lowest in the world. So Australia is a very hard competitive market. We're all incredibly proud of what we've done. Our revenue growth has mainly been off our domestic base in that context of highly competitive and low reimbursement rates. So we're expecting reimbursement rates in the offshore markets of the US and Europe to be significantly higher than they are here in Australia.
Which means, does it, that you're able to charge more in the
right.
US and Europe?
We're expecting our margins to increase in the offshore markets.
In that quarterly to 30 September, you reported roughly 1.5 million revenue. Are those kits all sold for that revenue? They're all in Australia, are they? Or are there some being sold already in Europe and the US?
The overwhelming majority of our sales has been domestic in Australia, so sort of 96-97%. And therein lies our opportunity, replicating our success here in Australia in those larger offshore markets. So Australia represents 1-2% of the world market, and we're now active in Europe and the US, representing about 75% of the world market.
Your three-base technology is unique. You probably better explain what it is.
Sure. So our technology is really driven by our desire to make a better test to detect infectious diseases. And our test is a molecular test, and for your listeners, all that means is that it's a DNA test or a genetic test. So we detect the DNA sequence of an organism, and therefore it's quite quick because we can do that in hours, not in days. The three-base technology sits under the molecular market, and what we do is we actually change the DNA alphabet. So you may know what DNA is made of. Four letters, A, C, G, and T, and we actually convert one of those letters, the C letter to a T letter, so four variables to three variables. And we do that to reduce complexity in the genetic information that exists in organisms. And you may have heard, or I'm sure you've heard of influenza, but there are many subtypes of influenza. so from bird flu to swine flu to pandemic flu, they're all influenza, they're all generally similar to each other at the genetic level, but they differ in a few letters here and there. So our three-base technology makes all of those subtypes more similar to each other by removing one of the variables. And so it's easier for us with a three-base test to detect any or all of those subtypes than any other molecular supplier around the world. So that's very unique to us. And I'll add that it's the aim of any molecular diagnostic supplier to pick up all of the subtypes of the organism in which they're targeting.
Genetic Signatures, the company was set up in 2001 with a straightforward, you know, the more traditional methylation process. And I think the three base idea was dreamt up along the way. Is that right? I mean, how far along the company's journey was three base discovered?
So we were founded in 2001, and three base was discovered around 2006-2007. In its theoretical form. So it took us a few years to prove it up and to generate the data that we needed to support our patent applications. So the three base process itself and its application is covered off in our issued patents expiring in 2031, 2033. So we've really been focused on that since that time. So the company was originally set up as an oncogenic detection company. You rightly said methylation. That's a way that we can detect cancer, oncogenesis. But as you said, our discovery was that we could actually apply that same technology to build a better test for infectious diseases. So we've focused on that for at least the last 10 years.
So did that pivot, that discovery 10 years ago, result in a pivot of the company's business model, as it were, from detecting cancer to detecting infections? And is that why it's taken so long to get somewhere? I mean, maybe I'm kind of being unfair here, but it's, you know, like it's 18 years since the company was kind of formed, but you're still burning cash. So, you know, it's taken a long time to get somewhere. Is that because you pivoted 10 years ago to something else?
Correct. That's correct. That's correct, Alan. This is probably the fourth iteration of the company, and we did pivot. And once we were focused on infectious diseases, we were away. So we built the proof of concept. We built a test that was well received by the testing community. We listed in 2015, and you can track the revenue growth we've seen since then. 47% CAGR just over the last 5 years. Again, off a very competitive domestic market.
Obviously, the company was founded by Dr. Jeffrey Grigg, who was a pretty distinguished molecular scientist who discovered the thing. You worked with him for a while, I think. You joined the company in 2003. He died in 2008. So tell us what it was like working with him.
I actually worked with Jeff much longer than that, because he was the chief of CSIRO Biomolecular Engineering, which is the institute where I did my studies and I did my PhD. So I was very fortunate to have probably a decade of time working with Jeff. And that was I'm just very fortunate to have had that time with him. He was a very clear thinker. He would swim in his swimming pool and think about all the articles he'd just read and come up with some amazing theories, which we would then go about and prove, and he's regarded as the inventor of this method, which is able to distinguish methylated cytosines in cancer, and which is the cornerstone of our three-base technology. So Jeff has been successful in a number of companies. He was also instrumental in setting up Cambridge Antibody Technology for Gregory Winter, which really led to the development of humanized antibodies, so Herceptin for cancer treatments, and that company was ended up being acquired by Demantis. So he was very active in science, but he was very active in business. I was very fortunate to have that exposure to him for such a long period of time.
In fact, you were senior principal research scientist at the company at the time when the three base was discovered. Did you discover it, or did Jeff?
The discovery was made by our chief scientific officer, Dr. Douglas Miller.
I thought that was you.
Well, I was certainly part of that, part of the development process. But Dr. Miller is listed on all 35 of our patent applications. He in fact is the one that reduced the method that we use into practice back in the late 80s with Jeff, with Dr. Greek. So they published that with others, Mary Ann Frommer and others, back in the early 90s. So Dr. Miller has been involved in that process since the early 90s. My involvement started around 1995, so it has a long history in working in this method. But the actual application to infectious diseases was when Dr. Miller was looking at an early, in developing an early test for cervical cancer. And our chief medical officer at the time said, well, it's all caused by infection, human papillomavirus. And Dr. Miller was able to look at the sequence, the genetic information of the human papillomavirus and say, well, it's everywhere. It's really hard to detect all of the subtypes. And that's when he had his discovery and realized that if he looked for human papillomavirus after three-base conversion, it was much easier. And so that was really our first proof of concept. We did a clinical trial. We put it against the only FDA-approved method at the time and outperformed them in terms of accuracy.
So are you the only company that's converting C's into T's, as it were, and coming and converting four DNA letters down to three? Are you the only one doing that?
Correct. It's unique to us. It is our proprietary technology, which was developed here in Australia and drives all of our tests.
And it is quite a lot more, quite a lot quicker. Is that the main thing? It's quicker than the old method.
Well, all molecular tests are quick because they detect the DNA of the organism. So we sit under that molecular market, which is generally faster results than traditional, and hours, not days. The unique three-base technology brings to us an ability to pick up all of the different subtypes, and it lends itself to screening assays. And so our assays that we bring to market are what we call syndromic tests. So if you have a gut infection, there could be many different organisms that cause that. They could be bacterial, like Salmonella. They could be parasites, protozoan like Giardia, or viral like norovirus. And our test is able to pick up more than 20 of those targets, whether they're bacterial, protozoan, or viral. So the three-base technology allows that sort of screening, and the implementation of that in a high-throughput format is what has resonated with testing labs.
So when you sell to an Australian lab, when you've been selling to an Australian lab and you sell some kits to them, do they just use your kits to supplement what they're doing, or do they switch to entirely using your kits?
They switch entirely to our kit. So every specimen that comes through the door will be tested with a genetic signatures three-base test. And that's what we call routine testing. So every single day, every sample that comes in gets tested with our kits, and therefore that allows us to build, as you've seen, that reliable and predictable revenue model. As an existing customer brings on a new test, you can see a step up in that revenue. When a new customer brings on an existing test or a new test, you can see a step up in that revenue. And generally, they're very sticky, and they love the workflow that we allow them to introduce into their lab.
How many labs have you kind of wrapped up in that way that you're now supplying all of their testing kits to?
We haven't disclosed the actual number due to sort of commercial sensitivities, but it's also a very hard number to estimate, because our customers, remembering we're talking about the Australian market, it's highly concentrated. We have the top three sort of pathology suppliers, which in turn service many, many hospitals. So we have Australian Clinical Labs as a customer of ours, and they service a number of hospitals, but that number is not easy to ascertain, Alan. So we know, broadly speaking, we think we have about 10% of the Australian market, so there's a way to go in Australia, but equally the similar penetration in those offshore markets, it's relatively easy to see what that might represent in a step up in revenue.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, what's your market share? So you reckon you've got 10% of the Australian market, but what's the maximum market share you could get, do you think? I mean, I'm just trying to understand how the market works. Is it possible you could get 50% of the Australian market, or 100%, or what?
It's possible, Alan, but you have to appreciate the competitive competitiveness of the Australian market. So there really are those top three, which together speak for 60% of the Australian market. So while there's certainly potential to dramatically step up our market share in Australia, we don't see that concentration in offshore markets. So while the big labs in the US, such as Quest or LabCorp, they don't speak for such a large percentage of the market, so it's more decentralised. So given that the Australian market is quite concentrated, we certainly expect we can win market share, and then when we do, it will be a dramatic step up because of that concentration of testing into a small number of labs.
Yeah, so the three big labs in Australia have got 60%. Who are they again? I mean, are we talking Dorovitch and who else?
That's correct, but they generally sit under the parents of Healius, formerly Primary Healthcare.
Yes.
We have the Sonic Labs and Australian Clinical Labs, which is the pathology part of Healthscope, which was sold off. So those top three speak to about 60% of the Australian market.
So if you've got 10% of the market, you obviously haven't got any of their labs, right? I mean, they're kind of using you for just some of their labs. Is that right?
That's correct. We have one of those big three, and that's why I said we are confident we can win market share in Australia by getting either of the other big two using our tests. But as I say, it's a competitive market. Labs are under contract, so certainly part of our business model is to gain market share in those bigger private labs.
The idea would be that you'd work on signing up the other pathology supplier in the US and Europe. As you say, it's more fragmented there, so you've just got to go through them one at a time. Is that right?
That's correct. That's correct. There are larger labs, so we certainly we're concentrating in Europe and the UK and Germany at the moment. There are large networks there, and so we're certainly targeting them because our high throughput workflows resonate very well with them, as they do here in Australia. But we are also targeting those lower to mid throughput laboratories. And certainly part of the use of funds that we just raised is really sales and marketing and support headcount in both Europe and the US.
So are you giving any guidance as to what you think you can achieve over the next 12 to, 12 months to 2 years?
We've given some guidance in the US. So in the US, we're gearing up to submit to the FDA our first product. It's a product for enteric protozoan infection. So they're the gut parasites like Giardia and Cryptosporidium. We're anticipating submitting that to the FDA around the middle of next year, and they take about 90 days to review that and ultimately give you clearance. So the reason that was the first product we put through the FDA is we've identified a gap in the market of using freebase technology to completely replace the traditional method of what we call microscopy. And microscopy involves taking a stool specimen, putting it on a slide and staining it and concentrating it and having a trained technician look down a microscope for 5, 6, 7 minutes trying to identify these protozoan cysts or protozoan organisms. And what we've done through our work with our US-based consultants is design an assay that can pick up all of the targets that they look for under traditional methods, but deliver results in hours at a higher sensitivity. And so we know there are 5.5 million of these traditional tests that are done in the US every year. We're targeting winning 10 to 15% of that market share in our first 2 or 3 years. Price point is to be determined, but even at a very conservative price point of $15 a test at 10% market share, that represents $12 million in annual revenue. So you could even look, if we won 15% and our average selling price was closer to $35, that jumps to $42 million. Remembering it's our first product in a single market being the US. So we're confident that we can win that market share because our test completely replaces the traditional method, which is insensitive, but also takes over a week to get results back to the treating doctors. So it's in that context. It's in that context that I said, you know, it's a single product FDA cleared in the US would see us through, you know, to cash flow to cash flow positivity.
Do you think you'll get there without raising any more money?
I expect to get there without raising any more money, Alan.
There you go. That's a good note on which to end. Thank you, John.
Pleasure, Alan.
That was John Melky, the CEO of Genetic Signatures.